It's great to be here at last as a priest, and specifically a priest who's been assigned to a specific area, which means I have spiritual children now. And that's a great joy because, you know, every man is meant to be a father, every woman is meant to be a mother, whether biological or spiritual. And it's really hard when you can't exercise that purpose and feel like you're really a father or a mother. So it's a lot easier for me now to do that, because you're here. Very clear, like the people of St. John University Parish and the people who happen to be in here. I get to be a spiritual father. And it's going to be tough, because I like to be like friends with everyone and make everyone feel good. Just play and, you know, pass the time away. But spiritual fatherhood requires some tough moments too. You gotta call people out when there's sin, you gotta help them grow when it hurts. And I'm really glad to have Father Brian to be my mentor in that. If I do anything wrong, he has to take the responsibility. And then hopefully that lasts many years before they put me somewhere on my own. And this being the case, that spiritual fatherhood as a great gift and yet a great challenge is now something for me to take on. I'm also glad that the readings of today focus on that one hardest thing that I'm going to be wrestling with, and all of us together, and that is the reality of sin. I know you might think, ugh, why preach about sin the very first homily, Father Szabo? Well, you can blame the book here. You heard in the first reading, God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. That means God didn't intend, you know, his main goal, his purpose in creating the world, to have us living in a situation where there's suffering and pain and death. But why is that the case? Because of sin. And it's really worth remembering this reality that we live in. You know, God created it all good, as we saw in we know from the story of Adam and Eve. And yet, something happened. We sinned. You know, we chose to use our free will to separate ourselves from God. He didn't, like, kick us away. That's a bad image of God. He's not the Father who, like, happily punishes us all and says, go to hell. He's the Father who's lovingly yearning for our return. Like the prodigal son story. When we sinned, we separated ourselves from God. Then, thank goodness, he came down and lived in that sin with us as a man. You know, he himself was perfect, but he let himself suffer the death that he never intended so that we could be reunited with him. And then, back to the present, he's given us spiritual fathers to be ministers of that awesome grace that actually has us now in a situation that was better than Adam and Eve could have ever imagined. They walked with God in the garden. We receive God into our very bodies, into our hearts when we come to Mass. Every sacrament is an infusion of God's very self into us. And that's what I get to do. It's my job, and I also love to do it. People are like, oh, Father Szabo, thanks for your sacrifice. Well, I don't know. This is pretty great. I mean, people come to confession, they're like, oh, Father Szabo, this is what I did. You know, it's so terrible, isn't it? I'm like, well, okay, sin is terrible, but your situation's not terrible, because you're in confession, and God's going to forgive every one of these sins you confess with a desire for repentance. And then here I get to celebrate Mass. It's so great to see you. And I just want to ask you to let me be a spiritual father to you. Because sometimes people think, oh, Father Szabo is too busy, or Father Brian's too busy, so I can't call him or set up a meeting or, you know, go to confession. Like, no. Especially parents, you know how much it hurts you when your kids don't come to you for help. Do you think that's any different for us? Not at all. Like, we love We would love it. Speaking for Father Brian now. If we had to extend confession hours to like twice the time before every Mass, because so many of you trusted the sacrament of confession working through us to bring you freedom from sin that we all struggle with. And I would love it if my schedule was always full with people who were coming to say, Father, here's what I'm struggling with. How can you help, or can you pray for me? Let me be a spiritual father. I need to learn how to do it for one, but you need it as well. Like, you need a spiritual father. And then I promise also to learn from you. So if you see me doing dumb things, say, Father Zabo, you should probably think about this. He said this, and I felt this way. Or, you know, why do you do that? That's weird. I intend to learn a lot from you as well. And together, maybe we will all grow in our faith enough to one day be like Jairus or the woman with the hemorrhage. Like, these examples are perfect for us as we think about sin and our need for healing. Like, hopefully, when we struggle, our immediate thought is to turn to God with the same faith that this woman and this man in the gospel had. I mean, think of this woman suffering for 12 years from hemorrhages. She's crawling through this crowd to get to Jesus. That's how much faith she had. And you know, what faith that we could have if we would pray for it and work at it. And we would receive even the greater graces than what she did, her healing. Or Jairus, if we have, you know, someone we love who's hurting and we want to see them healed, do we go to God in prayer shamelessly? I mean, this was synagogue official going to like a lowly Jew, this Jesus guy. That would have been pretty weird. People would have looked down on him for that, being an official. And yet, would we be willing to be shamed by other people because of our love for Jesus? And that's what I want to be like. And I know together in this relationship we now have as spiritual children and spiritual father, if we work together, pray together, we can have a faith as strong as that. And then maybe one day we'll find each other forever in heaven.